Romans chapter 8, verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, for the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, for who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture. Just rich. So needed, Lord, at different times in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray tonight as we just scan over it, kind of jump from mountaintop to mountaintop, Lord, that you'll help somebody, encourage somebody. And also, Lord, better equip us to be encouragers of those who are going through times of suffering. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Received a phone call just recently, and it was from someone, by the way, a good Christian. I mean, somebody that is in the will of God, and somebody that I think to the best of their ability, trying to live for God, be faithful to God, serve God. But they're just going through a very difficult time right now. And the man, as we talked, he said, Brother Ross, can I ask you a question? And I said, well, of course, anything. And he said, have you ever felt like God has just forgotten you? And wow, when he said that, there was just something that touched my heart. When I talk to a believer, and again, somebody that loves the Lord, somebody doing the best they can, and yet the circumstances of life has gotten so difficult that they are willing to ask that question out loud. I thought to myself, this brother needs some love and some encouragement right now. And You say, preacher, what do you do when you get those kind of calls? Well, I've had people come to me. Sometimes I don't know what to say. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not sure how, you know, what good my words are to people that are hurting to that level, but I can tell you this, God's words always go with a promise to help and to accomplish and to encourage. And I told him, I said, do you have your Bible handy? And I had him turn over to Romans chapter 8. We read what I just read to you. We read it together. And folks, listen to me. Suffering is just going to be a part of this life while we're here on earth. I'm just telling you. I'll give you a couple thoughts and we'll get into the message tonight. But suffering, don't forget, is a result of the sin curse. And so, I mean, that's just the fact of it. Sin has messed up this whole thing. And God created paradise, put man in it. And you know, our choices have brought sin. And anytime you have sin, you're going to have suffering. Listen to what I just said. How do I diminish the amount of suffering I'm going to have face in my life? Live for God. Do right. Choose right. Don't take a shortcut. Don't make an excuse. You know, nobody's going to live a perfect life. But well, we ought to. That doesn't mean we should give in to that. Get up every day, not trying. And every single time, listen. Righteousness always produces peace, and sin always produces suffering. Suffering is a result of the sin curse. Suffering number two comes to every life. Listen, trials, testings, burdens, heartbreak, disappointment, sorrow. I mean, no one's going to escape these things. And I think I've said this enough times. You probably could say it. Stand up and say, I know what you're going to say, preacher. But listen to me. I don't care if you like the person, don't like the person. I don't care if they're your best friend or worst enemy. You know what? Never rejoice in the suffering of somebody else. And I really mean that. Because the thing that your preacher said all through the years is this. Listen, before this life is over, there's enough suffering to go around. And so you know what? When you're suffering, you'd like people to love and pray for you and be concerned. And so do that. Do that to every person that's going through a hard time, because it comes to every life. Number three, suffering comes to us in two avenues or two forms. There's personal suffering, and that's when we are personally affected. The suffering is our suffering, you know, if maybe an affliction of body, a heartbreak or a heart burden, something that's in our that affects our mind, it affects our spirit. And this is suffering that directly affects you. And so that's your suffering. But you know what, folks, that's not the only kind of suffering. There's not just personal suffering, there's vicarious suffering. That happens when someone we love and care about, they are the ones being affected, and they're the ones hurting. And you know what, you can't truly love somebody. Come on now, you can't truly love somebody and then stand there and watch them suffer without you carrying some of that into your own life. So suffering directly affects you, and sometimes when it's personal and then vicarious, it indirectly affects you. It's not your issue or your trial or your burden or heartache, but you know what? You carried a lot with them. Come on, husbands. Your heart, or your wife can't be hurting without you hurting also. Wives, you can't watch your husband hurt without you hurting also. Come on, parents. There's no off switch on the mommy and daddy thing. I don't care how old the kids get. If they're suffering, you know what? You carry a part of that also. But I want to give you this last thought. Suffering does not have to defeat us. It doesn't have to defeat us. You see, God will not remove everything in our lives that may bring us sorrow or heartache or a trial or a testing or a disappointment. But I love this chapter, because in this chapter we see that God does provide all that we need to live victoriously despite our trials and our setbacks and our infirmities and our weaknesses and the things that we just are asked to go through. And as I went through this chapter, I thought I wanted to go through this with my church. God has promised some things to those who are asked to suffer. He promises you some things. And I want to say this. Let me answer the man's question. Let me answer that question if it resides in your heart. God has not forgotten you. Matter of fact, that's the name of the message tonight. God has not forgotten you. God has prepared some things for you to help you with the sufferings. Here's the phrase that we read, of this present time, the sufferings of this present time. And so God knew in his foreknowledge, we read about the foreknowledge of God, all that I would ever have to go through in my life. And before I ever faced my first trial or heartache, God said, I've put some things in place to help you through those tough times. Let me have you jot them down, or you can get the tape, or you can listen to it later. Because this will not only help you if you're going through it now, but you're going to have that person one of these days that asks you a question similar to that. Has God forgotten me? Have you ever felt like God has forgotten you? And I'd love you to be able to turn to Romans chapter 8 and just say, let me share some things with you. Say, preacher, what has God promised and what has God prepared to help us during times of suffering? Number one, he's prepared a plan to adopt us. How about that? The whole portion of scripture started in verse number 14, if you'll flip back there. And we read, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, I love this, they are the sons of God. Goes in verse 15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Goes on in verse number 16, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the what? Children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Wow, that's a pretty good position. We've been very much elevated because of this adoption. And if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. Now, salvation brings you into a family. The day that you got saved, you were brought into the family of God. And by the way, you were adopted by God. And now he takes the position in your life of as your father. Hey, just let that sink in a minute. Just let that sink in a minute. That God, when you got saved, became your heavenly Father. You can bow your head as Jesus taught his disciples to pray and said, and start with this thought, our Father which art in heaven. Praise God. We can cry out, Abba, Father. That word Abba means daddy, father. You know what? Sometimes I need a father and sometimes I need a daddy. And God says, you know what? You're one of my children. I talked about there's no off switch on the mom or dad thing, you know, the parent thing. You know, when I get prayer requests, we just mention it different ways, and we want to get prayer requests out when there's needs in our life. And folks, I'm going to tell you this, and I hope it happens in your life. But I don't just look at those things and bypass them. I try to take those things seriously. Sometimes I know the person, sometimes I don't know the person. But you know what? I want to be concerned about every prayer request. But I'm going to confess something. Okay, throw rocks if you want. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not as concerned about a prayer request that comes across as I would be if it was one of my children. And by the way, neither are you. Neither are you. I mean, when it's one of your own, when it's your children, you know what? You'll pray for other people's children. By the way, you'll hurt with them and be concerned and express empathy and sympathy. But I'm going to tell you something. It goes to a whole new level when it's one of your kids in a crisis situation. Hey, I got good news for you. That's how your heavenly Father feels when you're going through sufferings. Okay, he takes it very personally. One of his kids are being affected. This is a big deal to God. So remember this, you're one of God's children. That in and of itself, I hope, is a comfort. So the first thing that you want to do to help you through the sufferings of life is if you've never received Christ as your Savior, get saved. There's an advantage to being in the family. There's an advantage to having a heavenly Father. Then we read from verse number 18, if you look at that, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So he gives us several things. Number one, a plan to adopt us. Number two, a future to encourage us. Now he's going to talk about the sufferings of this present time, and he's going to get us some real help. But he's going to stop, and from about verse number 18 down to verse number 23, he's going to remind us of something. This life is a vapor that appeareth for a short time and vanisheth away. And no matter what your suffering is, it's not going to go on forever. It's not going to be forever. You know what? There is a future to encourage us. I like that phrase, the sufferings of this present time. You know what, folks? All of us have gone through temporary sufferings that affected us for a time in our life. You know, and so there are those that come and they come and go. I love this little phrase, and it came to pass, and it came to pass. You know, that's found 396 times in the Bible, 396 times. And a lot of things that come into your life come to pass. they come to pass. God will bring a trial or a testing or a health problem or an issue. And you know what? It'll affect you for a while. Then you'll get on the other side of it. You'll be able to look back and learn lessons from it. You'll be able to see God's hand in your life. And you know what? But it started and it finished. But that's not true of all sufferings. Not all sufferings, as far as in this life, comes to pass. Sometimes they come to stay. You know, a remarkable thing will happen to some of you younger people, and has happened to even some of our younger people, but not to many of them, not to most of you. You know, for the first half of your life, you know, something physically goes wrong with you, or you're fighting something, or you get sick. And so, you know what? You view the doctor like this. First of all, you don't go unless you have to, but if it gets to the point you have to, then you go. And you walk in and you say, "Doctor, here's what's wrong, and I need you to fix it." Okay, I'm the patient, you're the doctor, here's the what's wrong, now fix it. By the way, a lot of times, you know what? He'll tell you or assist you or help you or figure, tell you what's going to, and you know what? He'll be able to get you on the other side of it, okay? But then a mysterious thing begins to happen in your life. I can remember the first time I went to see a doctor and I said, "Listen, I'm having an issue here and I need you to fix it." And he just started laughing. And he said, "Well, there's no fixing that." And I know that that sounds like it's so odd, but I remember just looking at him like, "What do you mean there's no fixing this?" And I got a wake-up call. The doctor said, "There's some things," like, "Mr. Ross, there's some things that's going to begin to happen in your body on the second half of this journey that is not going to be the kind of thing you could walk in and get a pill or get this or do that, or we can wait it out, or we can have a procedure, and you get on the other side." Guess what? You know what they tell you? "You know what? Toughen up, buttercup. You're just going to have to live with it. This is what it is. That's what it is." And so, you know what? I remember walking out of the doctor's office thinking, what a traitor. What a scam. I mean, if you talk about false advertisement, what good are they? I needed him to fix this. Hey, you know, folks, there's things coming in our life. Not all of it's fixable. Brother Bud stopped me at the back door, and I've been keeping up, trying to keep up on his situation. He's been good about coming and talking to me about it, but he's got back problems. He's been suffering with back problems, and I mean to the point where it got real debilitating in his life. So he goes and tracks down the doctor that's got the best track record in this and has successfully treated and helped and gotten people fixed. And you know, he went to a good, proven doctor. And he said they ran all the tests, and he looked at all of the scans and the MRI and all of those things. And he walked in, and the thing that he had to look at him and say, he said, when he walked in and looked at me and said, "Well, you're going to have to walk like you're walking on eggshells for pretty much the rest of your life." He said, "I can give you a prescription so we can get some shots and try to control the pain level. But what the situation is with your back, there's no surgery. There's nothing. It's unfixable." And people say, "Well, man, do I have to live with this?" This is what they'll say. "Do I have to live with this forever?" I got good news. No, you will not have to live with this forever. And that's what we say because we're a little over dramatic, okay? "And I got to live with this forever." No, you know what this next portion's about? Even if it's something that you are going to have to live with while you're here on earth, listen, the Lord said this, the whole creation is groaning under the curse of sin. And let me tell you when the groaning's going to stop, when we get on the other side. Because Brother Bud, one of these days you're going to get a new body and it's not going to have any back issues, no back issues. And that's true for a lot of people in our church, folks. I promise you it's true for more people than you know. Because there's a lot of us that are just private about it, when a lot of us that feel that way. And it's not that, you know, I'm not condemning people that share prayer requests. I'm glad that he updated me on a situation. I ask about things when I know about it. But folks, a lot of, you know what you find out if you sit down with the average person that's, you know, 50 and older? There's probably something that is just going to be a part of their life the rest of the journey. And that's not always true with just older people. You know, little Julie is going to have a situation unless God does a miraculous healing. That's just going to be a part of her life for the time that she's here. And so, you know, I've watched children get childhood diabetes. And guess what? That's just going to be a part of their journey. And you know, we pray and we ask God for miracles. But you know, the Apostle Paul faced that one time too. And he prayed and asked God to heal some things in his life. And you know what God said? There's some things that you're just going to have to rely on my grace for, you know. And I'll read that portion to you. I hope it's an encouragement. And Paul wrote this, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And I want you to stop there. I want to stop there and say this. The Lord allowed this in the Apostle Paul's life for a very specific reason. And you know, Paul was used in such a miraculous way that it would have been very easy for him to be given over to the sin of pride. And so God said, to make sure that that doesn't happen to you, I'm going to use you in an extraordinary fashion. But because of that, God understands the dangers of that better than we do. He understood the Apostle Paul better than we'd ever understand him. And so he said, I'm going to not cure you of this. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, listen what God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Wow, how about getting to this place? Wow, you talk about graduate level Christianity. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And Paul was understood that if he didn't have this in his life, he would not be as reliant upon God. He wouldn't pray as hard as he does, would have if he didn't have this. He wouldn't have to beg God for some things. He needed the Lord in a way that he would never felt like he needed him if he didn't have this. And so these things drove him to the Lord. But watch this. Whether or not it's a temporary suffering, whether it is a lifetime sentence while we're here on earth for this present time, folks, I'm telling you, there is a future to encourage every one of us. Romans 8, verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Well, these days, folks, listen to me. Wouldn't it be interesting if we described death the same way the Bible describes death? You know, what happened to Brother So-and-so? What happened to Brother Townsley this year? Preacher, he was delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen. So what'd you just say? He died, but he died as a child of God. Preacher, what happened to your mom this year? She was delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. And if you go down and read the rest of the portion of Scripture, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Folks, it's part of life. Think about that. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And so whatever you're asked to carry, here's the encouragement, all right? Number one, you're a child of God. God's adopted you. You can go to him as your father. God is there for you in a very personal way. Number two, hey, even if this never goes away in this life, there is a time where we will go to a place where there's no more suffering. There's no more heartache. There is a future to encourage us. Let me move down. Number three, a promise to assure us. A promomise to assure us. Romans 8:28. Isn't this a wonderful verse to be landed right smack in the middle of the portion of Scripture and in the middle of the subject? How about this? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. A promise to assure us. So God says, listen, no matter what you're going through, whether you understand it or not, whether or not you get prayers answered concerning the removal of it or not, I want you to latch on to this promise. Now, folks, I'm talking about if you're going through this and you're struggling, you're going through something, this is the kind of thing it's good to, guys, for a while, I've taken Romans 8:28 written on a 3x5 card and stuck it on the dash of my vehicle and just left it there to help me get through these times. Okay? I mean, this is the kind of thing, ladies, that, you know what, write out and stick it on the mirror and just look at it every morning and just believe it. Because, folks, it doesn't say here that all things are good, but it says here that all things can work together for good. And there's a point in time in my life, I've just got to, no matter what God's asked me to face, I just got to trust Him. He sees the big picture. I don't see the big picture. I see how things are affecting me. I don't see how it's affecting everybody else. I don't understand all His purposes, but I trust Him. I trust Him. So you know what? I like that. And we know, I love the assurance of that. And we know this is something that we don't have to worry about, think about, doubt. And we know that all things work together for good. So you know what? All of the different things that come into our life, both the good, the bad, both the good, the blessings and the heartbreak, all of those is part of God forming us and conforming us to the perfect image of His Son. Folks, He sent His Son down here and He allowed Jesus to suffer. You know, how can we be conformed to the image of Christ if we never suffer? I'm not going to understand that aspect of God the Son. To them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. So latch onto that promise. We're just working down through here. A plan to adopt us. That's what God has ready for you. A future to encourage us. A promise to assure us. Let me give you another one. A God to stand beside us. A God to stand beside us. Look at verse 31 and verse 32. What shall we then say to these things? I love this. If God be for us, who can be against us? And then to back that thought up, look at verse 32. He, that's God, God the Father, that spared not His own Son, that's Jesus Christ, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He said, you don't think that God's willing to give you what you need during this time? He gave you His Son to redeem you. He didn't withhold the greatest thing that heaven had to offer. So if He was willing to not withhold that, then He's willing to give you what you need during this time. And you know what? God is there, and a God to stand beside us. Greatest thing that God offers to us when we're called to suffer. Hey, preacher, what's the best thing, the greatest thing that God has offered to the Christian who's suffering? He has offered Himself. If God be for us, who can be against us? Think about that. One of the greatest misjustices of this pandemic is the isolation of those that have been suffering since March. And I want to say this because to me this is criminal. There's a level of wickedness that I'm having trouble comprehending and honestly coming to peace with. The idea that Brother Bob Townsley, I'm just going to say this, and the idea that Brother Bob Townsley, you know what, was separated from his wife while he was on his deathbed, a wife of over 70 years. And he was separated from his wife and separated from his children and died alone in a nursing home bed with no family around him, to me is criminal. It's criminal. It's wicked. It's wicked. Brother Courtney Lewis, I may get him in trouble by putting this on the tape, but hey, he's so much trouble in Chicago right now then, you know. But Brother Courtney Lewis had the daughter Lois that just went through a terrible sickness. I mean, a terrible life-threatening sickness. She got an infection in her body and they couldn't get it turned around. They sent her home, then had to rush her back, and she spent several weeks in the hospital. And I'm texting Brother Courtney Lewis through this whole thing, how's Lois? And when they admitted her to the children's hospital, they then escorted both the parents out the door. Now, that's your 10-year-old kid. So Brother Lewis, being Brother Lewis, you know Brother Lewis, amen. So he went into the car and took his wife and said, you take the car, you go pick up the other girls from the babysitter, and you go home, and I'm going to go be with my daughter. So he walked around the back, found a door, a service door that was open. I won't tell you who assisted him, but thank God there's still people in the hospital that have a heart. Kind of helped direct him to where he needed to go, got him up to the right floor. He walked into his daughter's room. Everybody started freaking out and panicking. Now watch this, folks. One lady got on the floor, hands and knees, and everywhere he stepped, she sprained something. And I'll tell you, we're nuts. I'm telling you, folks, this is a level of wickedness that you're going to tell a parent that they've got. And so he walked in there and sat down beside his daughter, and he looked at them, and they came in. Sir, you can't be here. And he said, ma'am, I need you to settle something in your heart. I don't know how serious my daughter is, but she will not be alone. She will not be without one of her parents here. Now, folks, I'm telling you, we need to start pushing back on them. And he said, if you need to call the police, you need to call the SWAT team, you call whoever you want to. I'm not leaving this room. Do we have an understanding? And you know what they did? They backed down. You know why? They have no right to do that. They have no right to do that. They know they don't have a right to do it, but we're letting ourselves be bullied into these silly things. Okay? What are you saying, preacher? Why are you bringing that up? Let me tell you something. No matter, you say, Brother Towns, let me just tell you something. Brother Townsley was not alone. I wish that Sister Betty could have been there. I wish Jim and the other kids, Luke and the other kids could be there. But I'm going to tell you something. God always will stand with you, no matter what you face in life. If God be for us, who can be against us? And I think about those things, and I think about this verse. You know I love this verse. I preach on it from time to time. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength. I love this. A very present help in trouble. Very present. And I talked to you about the idea there's a difference between being present and very present. Okay, mamas, when you're watching the kids, okay, and you're trying to get all the chores done at the house and you're working and you're watching the kids, you're present. But one of those children scream out, and only a mama knows that scream. You know, you figured out what the screams are. There's the drama scream, you know, no need to even react. There's the fake, you know, I want attention scream, and you know, you put that in whatever category. But then there's the scream that only a mama knows. And you know what? That separated from everything else. There's something wrong. Now, you may have always been present. But in that instance, that child's in trouble. You are very present. Everything else goes on the back burner. Your full focus, full attention, all of your energies. Watch this. All of your abilities, all of your power is going to the aid of that child to find out what's wrong and what do we need to do to fix it. Aren't you glad that God says, you know what? I'm always here. But there's sometimes in your life, I'm extra here. I'm extra here. And so that's listen, there's a God to stand beside us. Sir, can I answer the guy on the phone? God has not forgotten you. Matter of fact, right now, he's stronger with you than he was before you went through this. He's there in a way that you can't comprehend. You have his full focus, his full attention. You know what? It's one of his children that's in trouble. He's there. He's there. A God to stand behind us. And then I love the closing verses. A love to support us. How about that? A love to support us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Question mark. Kind of a rhetorical question. Then he goes through and says, all right, you know, is there any takers on that challenge? I mean, bring the worst that the devil can bring. Bring the worst that the world has to offer. Tribulation, bring it. Distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. I love this. Nay, there's the answer. Nay. All these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And this is what I want the word of God to persuade you of, because it persuaded Paul. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you're suffering, there is a danger that all of us face when we're going through real intense time of struggles and trials and sufferings. And the danger is this. We can get to the point where we begin to question the love of God. Now, let me just let that sink in. Where we really begin to question the love of God. We begin to question, is he here? We begin to ask questions like that man asked. I love that he was that transparent and honest with me. Preacher, have you ever felt like God's just forgotten you? And you know what? When you're going through intense times like that, it is easy to go into that kind of dark place. And I know that in our minds, our Bible knowledge wants to rise up against it. But you know what? It's hard to think straight when your heart's that broken. And there's times where you're all going to face that. I'm going to tell you. Grab a hold of Romans chapter 8. You're going to need it in your life, and you're going to need it to help somebody else. Now, I did something into that conversation that I'm going to do now. And you know what? Back in the 1970s, 80s, there was a poem that became so popular. and was written by a lady, and it became so popular, and it showed up on just about everything. You go to a Christian bookstore, you go anywhere. It was printed on little cards. It was printed on bookmarkers. And it was called Footsteps in the Sand. And matter of fact, it got to the point where I'd heard it in so many sermons and I saw it in so many places that I just got to the point where it's like, I never read it. I was like, here's what we say. That's been so overused. But I think what happened was an entire following generation said, everybody's heard it. Everybody knows it. I'm not using that again. And I feel like we've got a generation now that's growing up that's never heard the poem. And I said to him, I'm going to read you a hokey poem before you hang up. And you know what? He had never heard it before. And I thought to myself, well, it's hokey to me, but, you know. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a truth in it. Say, read it, preacher, all right. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him. He decided when he stood before the Lord, he would question the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why when I needed you most, you would leave me. And the Lord replied, my son, listen, my precious child, I love you. And I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. It was then that I carried you. During those times in life, you're just going to have to let the Lord sometimes carry you. No shame in that. He wants to do it. He'll just pick you up and say, for this portion of the journey, you're in my arms. You're in my care. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that I can stand up before your people, your children, and proclaim a truth that's backed up by the Bible and also proven in the experience of my life. God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. Lord, heartache's always heartache. Suffering's just always suffering, but it seems like during the holiday season, sometimes those heartaches and sufferings just seem like they're a little deeper, a little heavier. And so, Lord, we need you all the time. And, Lord, we need you, I think, especially in sometimes. And so, Lord, I pray that for those that are walking the journey and they're on that stretch of the beach where they're starting to stumble and they're weak and they can't put one foot in front of the other. Thank you, Lord, that you're a faithful God. And your strength can reach down and just pick us up and carry us along. So, Lord, as we interact with people, there's a lot of hurting people in this world. There's a lot of people in our church. It's gone through some pretty extraordinary things in this year. And, Lord, there are some that's right smack in the middle of it right now. Lord, I pray, dear God, during the times where the devil may come along and whisper lies into our ears concerning God and his lack of concern and lack of love, you'll just help us to open our King James Holy Bible, go to Romans chapter 8, just read and weep and read and shout and claim some promises and hold on for dear life to some truths. And Lord, thank you that you're there for us during the difficult times. Bless, Lord, the rest of this week. Make it a good week and a sweet week for our people. Lord, bless this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.